What's up, guys? It's Nick from Back to the Past, an alternate history podcast. And today, we're joined by the usual hosts, Rohan and Tej, as you all know. And we also have a special guest today, Raj. He's from another podcast, in which is called The Dire Campfire. So please introduce yourself and introduce a little bit about what your podcast is.
Hey, Nick. It's great to be on. I love your podcast, dude. Great history content. All around, just really entertaining.
Thank you, thank you. So what's up with the Dire Campfire? You guys haven't uploaded in a couple months. Can you explain why?
Oh, yeah. We're currently on a hiatus, which we will actually be coming back from this week. So please stay tuned for our next episode in like 6 months.
Yeah, you know, that's great to hear because I really got into the first two episodes. It's just that I guess you guys just need a little bit more time to come up with a little bit more creative stuff. I actually liked what you guys were talking about. I think you guys gave really good opinions on modern day ideas. So basically the Dire Campfire is basically these two guys' opinions, which Damien and the other guy joining us, Raj's opinions on what's going on in the modern day world. And so let's introduce our topic for today. And we're going to be concluding the trilogy of the French and Indian War, but in favor of the French. So last time we left off with the Americans losing the American Revolution. And we concluded this was mainly because the French would give two hootenannies about some little colonies in North America, which they already had full control over. So the Americans would have all their founding fathers, George Washington, Ben Franklin, executed, or at least that was my take. And our other host had different takes, and we had a beautiful discussion to end the episode. And so let's bring it into Rohan and Tej.
So in this episode, the two eras that we want to hit, which are really important in our timeline, so I'm just going to call it the prime timeline for shorting it, are the French Revolution and the Napoleonic era. So those two, because the French Revolution essentially led to the Napoleonic era, which is after the Seven Years' War, probably one of the most important eras in European history, not European, sorry, global history. Because the Napoleonic era, it changed the way Europe, all the nations were organized. It led to the collapse of the HRE, for example, the Holy Roman Empire in our timeline. And also, in North America, Napoleon only sold Louisiana because he needed money for his war campaign. So, if he didn't go to war, but it was still in that timeline, so it would be under Spanish rule because in the real Treaty of Paris, which is the end of the Seven Years' War, the Spanish got Louisiana territory. So what Napoleon did is he invaded Spain and essentially made it a puppet state of his monarchy, sending his, I think, one of his family relatives there. But anyway, as I was saying, in this episode, we want to cover the Napoleonic era and the French Revolution. And if we have time, depending on how long it takes, we can move on further into the 1800s. What do you guys say?
I agree with that. And so I'll start off with the French Revolution, as the French Revolution is clearly one of the most defining moments in the early 1800s and even in global history in general, because it's really a turning point in terms of in my opinion, it's a turning point in terms of the American experiment, which, you know, if the American experiment is a democracy or a republic, I should say, more specifically. And the reason why I believe this is just because there's the founding fathers, which specifically Thomas Jefferson, actually helped write the Rights of Man, which is probably the most important document in revolutionary France. And so in this scenario, I think besides the fact that the French won the French and Indian War, if the Americans lose the American Revolution, I think either A, the French Revolution will not have the same effect, or B, the French Revolution will have to write a different version of the Rights of Man. So what's your opinion on that, Dutch?
So, yeah, I totally agree with you on your opinion about the French Revolution. I definitely don't think Napoleon will ever rise to power if France was going to win. God damn it, I'm slow, sorry. I totally agree.
Good. Sorry.
You stayed from French Revolution, right?
Yeah, so
I was saying that the French Revolution would simply not exist, the French Revolution wouldn't exist in the same way, not just because of the fact that the French Revolution would never happen because of the French victory. I said because it would be changed in a significant amount because of the Rights of Man document not being co-authored by Thomas Jefferson.
I totally agree with you, Nick. I don't think the French Revolution will ever happen, which means I don't think Napoleon will ever rise to power. I think France will be a big monarchy empire or power and influence due to they just won the war against Britain. There's the American Revolution is a flop. In this scenario, Britain will win. And that France, with its victories, it will try to influence its expansion, its monarchy influence, all that stuff. So we can see as France is a big monarchy, empire, kingdom. I think it's going to be an empire. That's on you guys.
But yeah, we agree with that. Like, I always, because one of the things we're going to be talking about later on, or what we plan to talk about later on, is specifically how the French and British empires would differ over the course of the next century, specifically up until around the early 1900s, World War One era. But that's going to be towards the end of the podcast. Right about that. I do agree. But yeah, you're right about that. The French definitely will become the most influential monarchy in the entirety of Europe and potentially in the entire world, I'd say.
Yep,
yeah, totally. I would say it would definitely be a competing influence between the British and the French. As I said in the last episode, this war was what set Britain apart from the competition. So with Britain being neck and neck with France, there's really no way to figure out exactly who's going to win, because there's got to be alternate conflicts, alternate events that we just don't know, because they did never happen in our timeline. So we can't tell for certain. But instead of it being certain Britain like it was in our timeline, it's going to be either the British or the French.
Yeah, that's just our guesstimation. That's really just what it is. We just guess.
I think France will have more power than Britain, because Britain is going to like struggle with its colonies.
You have to remember this too, because France. I mean, I could see France having more dominance than the European front.
I honestly think that France was probably, sorry to interrupt, but I just want to say that I think honestly France. I think this was a turning point in terms of human history, because I think France actually, at the time, it's probably more powerful than Britain. Debate, but like in my opinion, I know this might be a little bit controversial.
I think I can go that way with the army, but the thing that always gets me is the British Navy. You just can't.
Yeah, but that's true.
Because
we're talking about a one-on-one fight, I think I'm giving it to the French.
French probably, but you got to consider then all the British overseas colonies and stuff and Navy. They can easily just blockade French overseas. But I mean, yeah, if it's just a one-on-one, I definitely agree with you. And as Taj was saying, I think France could probably become number one power in Europe. But globally, as I said again, I'm not too sure, because the Navy is more important globally compared to just European affairs.
I disagree. I think one factor you're not counting in is that influence does not diminish or get like shattered. I think British will become less powerful. I think it will struggle. I think its Navy is going to decrease, is going to struggle. There's a thing called debt. I think British will have a hard time to compete in France. It's kind of going to be the opposite. Does anyone agree with me?
Well, I think I could debate for both sides here.
I mean, because I do see,
I have to say that, in my opinion, my take on it at least is that the French and the British, I think, had basically competing influence during the time. If you look at North America, for example. The British, I would say, had stronger influence there, mainly because of the fact that they had, I think, around 1 million people in 13 colonies before the Revolutionary War, so 1776. And the French had how many? Maybe like a couple thousand fur traders at most. Meanwhile, in India, competing influence. It was kind of new to get into India at that time period, as we all know. But in Europe, I think France absolutely dominated at the time. But if you just look at how the French were at that time period, look at their allies, Austria. Austria was never a French ally. Traditionally, they were actually extremely anti-French, as a matter of fact. Because throughout the entire times of, for example, the 30 Years' War, France fought against Austria because, you know, Austria was the French's big rival. I just find it extremely interesting that we see the first time of an alliance between Austria and France. So I think that if they are able to hold that alliance through political marriage, I think France becomes absolutely the most powerful nation in the world. I don't think there's any debate about that. And I also do agree with what Rohan's saying specifically, Tej. What Rohan is trying to say is that the British Empire, its influence wouldn't be too affected. And, you know, I honestly would agree for the first maybe 50 years or so, because in the next 20 years, they would lose control over the United States, which I think we should talk about, actually, right after this, as a matter of fact, because I think there's a little bit of good ideas we can get out of that.
I have a point, and then we can, we discuss that.
Yeah. So, but I do think that the British overall would definitely lose influence and we become the less dominant power. But to say they're not influential or not really the most influential, I think over time that's going to be proven wrong. Because if we look at Africa, for example, which I think we should definitely get into later on, because if we're talking about influence, I do think Britain would definitely have the most influence and, in fact, go for more land. And regarding with Prussia, for example, how they lost so much land and stuff, I think that's going to have a huge effect on how Africa is shaped. Because, that, as you know, Tanzania, Southwest Africa, which is now known as, what's that country? Namibia, along with the Togoland. I think that actually kind of affects how the colonization in Africa happens. So that's my point. I do agree with Rohan, but I also do agree with Tej.
I think one other point to consider is that since we are Americans, which is based off an Anglo culture base, like definitely it's got combined other cultures, but the base is Anglo. We inherently, I guess, have a subconscious British bias, if you get what I mean, compared to like French.
Yeah. I see what you mean for sure.
Yeah, but anyway, let's move on now to the American frontier.
Yep. We'll talk about the Americans.
All right. So with the American Revolution, we left off on it's going to be a failure and they would get executed, the Founding Fathers specifically. So we were really debating about when the Americans would finally gain their independence from Britain. And personally, with me at least, I think it could be as early as around 1790, actually, as a matter of fact, because if we look at the current situation, let's just say the British had their own social problems. I think the latest that the Americans could potentially be able to gain their independence would be 1790. And you might be saying, oh, really? That's too far-fetched. It's too early in the timeline. I say no, because I see the fact that Britain is going to have a hard time, not only with debt, but with social unrest after the war. And that's the key thing, social unrest. Because in fact, if you didn't know, the reason why the whole taxation on the American colony started was because of English riots actually all over the place. And this was from the winners. An example of the winners and losers from a war, besides the French and Indian War, would definitely be World War I. If you look on both sides, Germany, Austria-Hungary, Ottomans were huge losers, and Russia too, should I count them. And Britain and France, they were pretty big losers too. They had a lot of debt. In fact, that's the reason why the dollar became the most dominant currency in the world, not the pound. Replaced the pound, as a matter of fact. And so, you know, we might as well just ask our guest, Raj. He hasn't gotten much action yet. When do you think the Americans will finally gain their independence from the British?
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with you on that one, Nick. I really don't think it would be 1790. I think the Americans would gain their independence around 1800 or so. Because with the Americans being so devastated by the American Revolution, I think they'd want to be around the British Empire for a little longer and maybe wait, like, I don't know, about a generation after the war ends or when a huge continental war would happen eventually.
So I do actually think you have a really good point there, Raj. Because with the I think if they were to break later, if they were to wait later, it would be because either A, they would have to wait an entire generation until after the war ends, so then they could add on more revolutionary fervor. Or if France and England were to somehow get into another continental war, say, you know, the Napoleonic Wars, but not Napoleonic, I do think that would eventually break free.
Raj has a good point, and I think we should remind people that, like, not all Americans wanted independence or wanted to go war. There was a huge amount of people in the colonies who were British supporters, and if, like, the American rebels who lose all that hope lose more supporters, and it's the British loyalists having more political influence over the colonies, is going to take longer for Americans to get thoughts of like independence and conflict with the British. But there will still be tensions due to Americans' culture is not fond with a British Empire taxing them without representation. And I don't think British is going to give them representation of what they see.
No, especially not after the Revolutionary War. Like I said, my opinion on it is that they're going to go for a much more of a oppressive approach after the Revolutionary War. So that's why I say we could see it as early as 1790, but or as late as 1790. I'm more of an optimistic, I guess. But I do think with Roger's point of view, I think that's the most logical point of view.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I could definitely see how, like, instead of pressing and just wasting men and weapons and like just getting more oppression, they could wait for some conflict or the British Empire to get distracted, if you know what I mean. So they have basically they're waiting for the perfect opportunity to strike.
And now we got the juiciest part of the scenario, Europe. There's a lot of things going on in Europe at this time. And I think we should cut towards the Napoleonic era. So around what, 1800 to 1815? So who would like to take this on? What do you think will happen in this era? Do you think another Napoleon would rise in another country like Britain or Prussia? Because I think Prussia could be very likely, mainly because of the fact that Prussia is very ingrained in military tradition. I think we could also see it in terms of in terms of revanchism.
I like that Prussia, sir. Because think, when we left off Prussia, they were a weakened state. Most of their land was taken away from them. And they're just very upset. They're probably unstable too. Like, so the French, the Napoleonic War, how Napoleon seized power in France was that France was severely unstable because of the revolution that was occurring. So I could definitely see some sort of instability in Prussia too. Not very a revolution per se, but definitely an unstable Prussia with revolts and the citizens getting mad. So I could definitely see Prussia becoming, you know, the home for the new Napoleon, let's say, of this era. Do you guys think?
Yeah, you definitely make a fair point. Though, I feel like there was just a lot of, like, factors that gave Napoleon to power. He was just, like, the French Revolution gave him the battles for him to gain victories that gave him more influence and a higher position that eventually gave him an opportunity to coup and made him emperor. Prussia could have instability, but I feel like it's gonna have a low chance with like someone like Napoleon to have like such like dictator power over like the remains of Prussia. By the way, the remains of Prussia in this scenario will be like a really small like nation. It'll still be a militarized nation, but a really weak nation. Plus, the HRE is still there, and we don't know how. We don't know when like German nationality will come to the German region.
Well, they're coming around 1848, so that's when it came originally. I don't think it's going to change.
I don't think that a Prussian dictator will do much. I think it could be easily handled. It's like how weak Prussia is going to be at the end.
It depends what we're talking about here, because.
I mean, you could disagree with me, but...
Well, it depends what we're talking about here in terms of... will we theorize that there'd be a Prussian Revolution instead?
I think there would be... I agree with Rohan how there would be instability and the government could change. Like,
what would Prussia become then, though? If there's a revolution similar to the French Revolution, what would happen?
If it doesn't have instability, then it stays the same. So,
It would most certainly have instability.
Yeah, so
any country after a war,
but if you
except that we're a major winner,
if you don't,
they're not going to have social instability. Instability, like I said, I'm just saying they're going to have social instability no matter what. Does not matter if you're like a minor winner or a big loser, unless you're not America in World War II or Russia in World War II, you're not going to not have social instability. Key example here, World War I. Look what happened to Germany.
Yep. I'm just saying that if you do think that Prussian government's going to change a little bit, the possibility of like a Napoleon for Prussia is going to be like very, very low. And I do think that Prussia's government will change a little bit, but it'll still be like the militarized government that we know. But that's just my opinion.
My take on it, at least, is that it's an old saying about Prussia is that with every other country, the state has an army. But in Prussia, the army has a state. If you have some influential young military commander like Napoleon was, it doesn't have to be like an artillery officer, but it could just be anybody. And if you guys don't know about the French Revolution story, basically, or how Napoleon came to power, he just kind of tricked the consulate at the time to just leave Paris, and then Napoleon just walked in. I don't think that would just happen, but I think more in terms of an army coup. So it become more of an actual military dictatorship with this Napoleon figure becoming the emperor. That's just my take on it. I know you guys don't agree with me on that, but I feel like if we see a revanchist Prussia take power, I think that could be a very interesting Napoleonic quote unquote war going on there.
I mean, yeah, no, I Tej was a bit against Prussia becoming a new Napoleonic figure, but I don't know if you heard me, but I mentioned before that I think Prussia was probably going to be the site if there would be one of this thing. But yeah, I definitely agree. Something like that could definitely happen. And the thing about Prussia is that, like Frederick the Great before the Seven Years' War, he was a really good commander. And as Nick had said before, he was able to take on an army twice his size. So even though Prussia is small and their numbers are limited, I think with their military smarts, they could definitely outwit their enemies.
Yeah. And like I said, though, if the Prussians were to succeed, I think this could, I'm going to call it Napoleonic Prussia during this time, because while we call France Napoleonic France during this time, let's just call it Napoleonic Prussia at this time, which is not real history. We're talking about alternate history here. So Napoleonic Prussia in this timeline would become this really aggressive empire. And I don't know, I think at first it would be more of an internal HRE war with a Frederick III, Frederick II like figure going ahead and fighting armies twice their size. And I guarantee you they'll be able to get some German allies. And I don't think this will lead to the direct dissolution of the HRV. Rather, maybe a little bit of a reorganization of sorts. But overall, I don't know if we would see a united Germany in this scenario.
I think, as I mentioned before, I think it's there, but it's going to be different. It's a ways off. Like, the Industrial Revolution, I think, happened around the 1820s, 1830s. So it was
With Britain.
Yeah, it was starting to be necessary that, you know, nations that are like similar cultures be combined for resources and more economic gain. Like, that's actually one of the things I was reading. The Industrial Revolution was actually one of the reasons for German nationalism, actually, because they have a similar culture per se. And all those nation states together could have great economic output. So I could definitely see not necessarily a formal German nation for a long, long time, but I could definitely see by the end of the 19th century, at least, a loose federation, end of the 19th to early 20th century, a loose federation. So like, it's more of like economic deals and like open borders. So basically trade deals. So they're all working closely together, but they're still politically different entities.
Yeah, I do agree with you on that part for sure. With the whole federation with Germany and stuff like that. But I think it's very important to look at the future, specifically the Treaty of Vienna. Like this scenario, Treaty of Vienna, I don't know how this would work in this scenario, because where would the British go? Would they join the Austrian side, which I'm sure that France would be joining as well? Or would they join the Prussian side? And if so, how would that affect the Treaty of Vienna? If there was a Treaty of Vienna,
that's an interesting point. Yeah, Treaty of Vienna is what ended the Napoleonic Wars, right? I just want to confirm.
Well, yeah, it also made Pax Britannia, which is the longest peace period, and I believe since the Romans, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, there wasn't a major conflict till the First World War, I think, right?
Yeah, 1914. It was from 1815 to 1914. It basically allowed for a basically give or take 100 years, and it allowed for a balance of powers is what they were looking for specifically, a balance of powers. And they got that until Germany came up and Rose.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Because France and Britain were scared of Germany. This, again, this is in our timeline. When Germany was uniting, they were really strong, and they were just a new nation. So France and Germany didn't like... I mean, not France and Germany. France and the United Kingdom did not like competition. I mean, if you're a major empire, would you? Nobody would like competition. You want to be the sole empire, you know, the strongest out of the rest.
The AKA China and US right now.
Yeah. I mean, the USA was a long-standing superpower, and now China's growing, and obviously, there's going to be tensions. Like the Cold War was basically tensions between two superpowers. Anyway, what were you saying?
So, no, I was going to say, I think we've talked enough about Europe for right now. I think we'll definitely get back to it later on, because I think we should really get into World War One, because that's such a major changing point. And we're not really going to worry about the butterfly effect right now. So let's head on over to
Africa,
the partitioning of Africa.
Scramble Africa.
The partitioning of Africa. Yeah, that was a major, major event in history. The 1884 Berlin Congress. If you don't know, the 1884 Berlin Congress, or Congress of Berlin, I should say, was a congress between multiple European nations: Belgium, Germany, France, the United Kingdom, Spain, Portugal. Russia was actually invited, even though they didn't get any land, if you didn't know that. But what that did is that basically partitioned 90% of Africa before 1884, only 10% was partitioned. And so I think it's a major thing to mention that, because with Germany, with the Prussia, I don't know what's going to go on with them, who's going to get what. So, you know, Raj, what's your opinion on this? Who gets what land? Like, who do you think's going to try to get more land, try to acquire more territory? And do you think Prussia will get anything out of it or no?
Well, I think Britain would try to push for more land, and that Prussia wouldn't really get anything, seeing that they're not as big as a nation as Britain. And also that France's empire will extend, and potentially other minor colonial powers, such as Italy.
Yeah, I do agree with your point right there. Anybody else want to add on to the Berlin Congress? Like, what do you think is going to happen as a result of that?
Yeah, so...
I
you can go touch. Yeah, you haven't had much...
I don't think Prussia's going to get a lot of African territories in this scenario. It's just too weak. Honestly, if you make a point that they probably won't get any territory and that even Russia gets one, you can make an argument based on that. It sounds like really like delusional, but that's my point of view, is that I don't think Prussia's...
So yeah, Tej, I do agree with your point about Prussia, or Roger's point really, about Prussia not getting any land. So while it's really because of the fact that if you look how much land Germany got, I think they honestly just got land because they were there. They hosted the conference. They might have gotten the Togo land at most. So what were you saying, Rohan? Because you got interrupted by Tej before.
I don't remember. Sorry about that.
All right, then. So let's move on to our final topic. World War One. That's right. World War One. So, Raj, how do you think World War One would go? Who would be aligned with who?
I've got to say, I'm not sure exactly. I can say that one side would definitely contain the French Empire. Another would contain the British Empire. But with Austria, I don't exactly know where they would lead. Either way, either they go with the British to counter the French or vice versa. And the rest depends on what other things would happen where.
So, in our timeline, the British obviously won the Seven Years' War, and they won the Napoleonic Wars. So what happened in between is that the British and the French got closer and they united. So I don't think that could happen in this one, but I still think if Britain and France are facing a greater threat, like depending on who they're facing in World War One, they might come together and they might bond like within in our timeline. Or, as Raj said, they could be on opposite sides. So it really just depends on who we determine as our enemy in this war.
Yeah, I do agree, because before 1871, before the rise of Germany, in fact, Russia was the most prevalent enemy. And specifically about Russia, the threat of Russia was only really quelled around 1905 when the Japanese invaded, which we don't even know how that's going to go out. We don't know if Russia is going to be affected by how Russia is going to even be affected. There's a lot of things we don't know. And it's really hard to explain what's going to happen because of the whole butterfly effect. And it's really hard to come up with alliances. But here's my theory on World War One. So as I do agree with Raj and Rohan's points, either A, let's just side with Raj for a second. I think that Britain and France are most likely to be on opposite sides. And I think the real deciding factor would be Russia. And why I say Russia is specifically because Russia is starting to industrialize at this point. Actually, I'm pretty sure they were industrializing at a faster rate than the Soviet Union was during the 5-year plans. And it was actually predicted by the German Empire in our actual history that they would not be able to defeat them past the year 1917, I believe the year was 1916, 1917, due to their massive industrialization. But getting back to the point, if Russia decides to stay neutral, that's a big victory for, I'd say, actually, France. Because I'd say in this scenario, I think that honestly, we could see Britain, Germany, and Austria on one side. And then France, Russia. If Russia was to join, I think go on Russia's side. So I think it's a win-win for France, actually.
So
France, Russia, and Italy. The Ottoman Empire, I cannot tell you. And I think actually Spain could be getting involved in favor of France.
So by Germany, you mean the Federation, right?
The Federation, correct. And that's why I included Austria in there.
Okay.
And the reason why I say Austria joining the British is more because of the fact that the only real connection the Austrians and the French had in terms of a political alliance was because of the political marriage they had during that time period. And I think that after a political marriage, unless they're planning to marry themselves to the French for a long time, I don't think that political alliance is meant to stand. History says different.
I mean, yeah. The thing about alternate history is that looking at our history can tell us a lot, but at the same time, it can't tell us a lot because some of the major events based off how it goes our way can be predicted, but then the minor events that follow those major events can be different events that have never occurred in our history.
Yeah, and like I said.
Yeah.
I do agree with that point where I do think most likely the British would get the Austrian and the German Federation on their side. But going on to your point, which the French and the British would align with themselves, I think that threat would either be A, the German Federation and Austria combined. Because I would see Austria being like the big brother to the German Federation.
Yeah, I could definitely see the Federation being a threat. I mean, obviously, it probably won't be as efficient economically speaking, militaristic speaking, because it's still different countries. And like when you have different countries trying to go for the same goal, they all make like different adjustments here. They're compared to being under one unifying government, if you get what I mean. But
I was thinking more of Russia, actually.
For the threat?
I'm saying the German Federation is a far second, but I think the most likely would be Russia in this scenario.
So then you can continue, my bad.
Yeah. So I think in this scenario, I think we would see a neutral German Federation, but it would be more of a French and British war, and potentially almost like the Crimean War, as a matter of fact, which we could see with the Ottomans losing grasp over the Balkans. And I think it's a very interesting scenario we have here, but we can go on and talk. But it's been fun talking about this scenario.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is now the end of our trilogy of the 7 Years' War. Again, this is 3 episodes because the 7 Years' War, as I and my fellow hosts have mentioned throughout all 3 episodes, is that this war changed global history forever. This was one of those wars. There's a few wars, and this was one of the major wars that started it. But yeah, I hope you all enjoyed the episode. Do you have any final words to say, Raj?
No, nothing much. great episode. We had some really good discussions today.
You know, you should come back again. Yeah, that's you should come back again. You were really fun to talk to.
We'll see.
Maybe I'll come back in a couple episodes.
How about you make a couple more podcast episodes? Then we can start talking about a contract.
All right, sure, Nick. You got it.
But yeah, again, just thank you for listening. Again, any suggestions, comments, reviews, criticisms, you can send it to our Twitter, you can DM it, at BackToThePastP1, or leave a comment on one of our many posts, and we'll make sure to respond. But yeah, if you enjoyed it, share it with people that you think you would enjoy alternate history as well. Any last words, any of you guys?
Nah, I just hope you guys enjoyed it.
Nope. Yeah, stay safe out there. Goodbye.
Bruh.